This evening, we are in the book of Proverbs. Lord willing, we'll cover both chapters 28 and 29. The message is entitled, Wise Words to Live By, Part 15. Obviously, there have been 14 previous studies of Wise Words to Live By. We are in that section of Proverbs that are short statements stuffed with sagacious sayings. I know, really, you're impressed, right? I swallowed a thesaurus and that's what came out. Short statements stuffed with sage-like godly wisdom saying, Solomon is teaching his sons and also you and me about living the blessed life. If we live righteously, we're going to be blessed here and now and especially in the life to come. If we live wickedly, it will result in a very tragic ending that will never, ever end. And so now, part 15, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 28, where we read, the wicked flee when no one pursues. They're paranoid. You know, wickedness will do that. It'll make you paranoid. Somebody's out to get you. They'll flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Righteous have nothing to fear because you haven't done anything wrong. Verse 2, because of the transgression of a land, speaking of when a culture is pushing the envelope of immorality, when the culture embraces immorality and wickedness, well, many are its princes. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. When wickedness increases among a people, it requires more government. More police, more court employees, more judges, more jails, more senators, more congressmen, more bloated government. Because when wickedness abounds, it requires more governmental oversight. But one day, where it says there in verse 2, a man of understanding and knowledge, one day the true man of understanding and knowledge will return and he is going to right all wrongs and his kingdom will never end. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? Verse 3, a poor man who oppresses the poor. So you got a poor guy who's now taking advantage of other poor people, is like a driving rain which leaves no food. This verse here speaks of how cruel even poor people can be. Rain should produce crops, produce food, yet sometimes a violent storm can do great damage. I sure hope that last night's storms left y'all pretty much unscathed. Maybe a few leaves or a couple of things blown over, but hopefully everybody was fine. Well, the rain should produce good, but yet sometimes can produce bad. Well, a poor person should have empathy for other poor people, yet there are some poor people who take advantage of, become oppressors to other poor people. Solomon's just recognizing that this is so. This is what it's like in this fallen world. So many negative things in this fallen world, including poor people taking advantage of poor people, including rich people taking advantage of poor people as well, and even some poor people trying to take advantage of rich people. People taking advantage of people until Jesus comes. Verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And don't you find yourself more and more contending with those who promote evil and want to encourage and do wickedness? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, that's going to be kind of one of the themes in these Proverbs. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Now, I'm looking around this room, and I believe everybody here is a believer in Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I, we get it. We understand what's up with the ways of this world. Have you ever thought to yourself, though, why don't they get it? Why is it that the people in the world, the media, the entertainment industry, I love sports, but even the whole sports industry, they're promoting evil and wickedness, and why don't they get it? Well, bottom line is, if they don't know Jesus, they're simply not able to get it. Because these things are spiritual issues and only can be understood by spiritual people. But praise the Lord, you and I, we get it. They don't. But the reason is because of Jesus. Verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. In other words, godly character is better than a big bank account. Godly character is better than a big bank account. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son. So Solomon's going to speak about to his sons, and he had quite a few. I guess after 700 wives and 300 concubines, you probably have a few sons at least. And so he's talking to his sons, and he talks about, if you keep the law, then you're a smart son. You're a discerning, a wise son. But a companion of gluttons shames his father. How embarrassing for parents when their kids run amok. Verse 8, one who increases his possessions by usury, charging interest, and extortion, trying to manipulate and take advantage of people, gathers it for him who will pity the poor. Have you ever been taken advantage of? Well, the one silver lining in that cloud is eventually, somehow, some way, God is going to take what was swindled from you and eventually use it for good. Eventually, someday, somewhere along the line, our Lord is going to right every wrong. And again, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? One who turns away his ear from hearing the law. So we earlier talked about the son who's keeping the law, but yet some sons just didn't want to hear it anymore. Those who turn away their ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. This is for those who claim to believe in God and even pray, yet they reject what God's word says about sin. We read in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I decide that it's fine for me to engage in a lifestyle that is against God's word, if I decide that it's okay to live with boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and engage in sex apart from heterosexual monogamous marriage, if I think that it's okay to look at people with lust, if I think that it's okay to cheat a little bit and, you know, when tax time comes around, just to kind of monkey with the numbers a little bit, if I think that it's okay to say some curse words every now and then and not realize that the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed from your lips. If I think that it's okay to sin, God says, uh-uh, it's not okay. Those who practice sin, not those who fall, you and I, we fall to sin, do we not? But yet we feel guilty about it, do we not? And we ask the Lord for forgiveness, do we not? In those circumstances, that's just part of walking with Jesus. We do good some moments, and then we stumble and fall, but then we ask the Lord for forgiveness, and we say, I don't want to ever do that again. Holy Spirit, please help me, and we continue on. But those who practice sin, this is just who I am, how I was born, these are my feelings, and my feelings are right, and then they say, I believe in God and I pray, and so I'm okay. Lord says, no, you're not. You're in for a rude awakening one day. Those who practice sin, but yet think that just because they say they believe in God and pray a prayer every now and then, they're in for a rude awakening. Verse 10, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. You know, bottom line, it's just good to be good. It's just good to be good. It goes well for the good. Verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own eyes. No wonder Jesus said how hard it is for those with riches to enter the kingdom of heaven. They're just too self-sufficient. Don't see their need for God. But the poor who has understanding searches him out. A poor man who is teachable, wants to search things out, is better than a rich man who thinks he knows it all. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. And when more wickedness arises, the more places you don't want to be caught in, especially at dark. And if a city is filled with places you don't want to be in after dark, it's because wickedness has abounded. Again, come quickly, Jesus. Verse 13, he who covers his sin will not prosper. Trying to hide it, don't want to come clean before God. You don't want to make it right with the people that you've wronged. You're trying to cover it up, you're not going to prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Remember, Moses told half of the tribe of Reuben, gave them this warning that wasn't just for them, but it's for all of us. He said, and be sure your sin will find you out. But if, again, this promise, whoever confesses and forsakes will find mercy. It doesn't mean that if you've sinned privately that you need to come forth publicly. No, you don't need to do that at all. To the sphere, the scope of your sin is the sphere or the scope of our confession. So if you've sinned against your spouse, you don't need to go and tell others about it. You just need to go to your spouse. First, you go to the Lord, because every sin is ultimately against him. But then you go to the one who was afflicted by your sin. And if you've done something publicly, then of course you need to come clean publicly. Trying to cover it up, you won't prosper, but if you confess it and forsake it, you will have mercy. Verse 14, happy is the man who is always reverent. This is the one who continually reveres God, loves him. Lord says he's going to be a happy guy or a happy girl. One reason is, if you love the Lord, if you revere him, you have no reason to feel guilt or shame. Another reason is that the reverent person always knows that God will always be faithful, no matter what. Therefore, happy is he, happy is she, even when going through trials and tribulations. Happy because you're reverent, you love the Lord, and you're revering him. But, verse 14, he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. You've heard the phrase, the same sun that melts the wax also hardens the clay. If you've never heard that phrase, then let me introduce you to it. The same sun that melts the wax also hardens the clay. It's the same sun, but yet you get different reactions because of different substances. You can take two believers and put them through identical situation. One becomes better, but the other becomes bitter. Everybody goes through the same stuff in life, to one degree or another. If you were born in a family, you are going to experience family troubles and drama. Some better, some worse. You will experience that. If you desire to eat and have a place to live, and you're going to have a job. Or you're going to have to get married to somebody who has a job or something. So you will have money problems, just like everybody else. Well, here we're told that you're going to go through it, But if you're always reverent, you'll be happy. You'll be content. But if you harden your heart when those trials come, instead of saying, Lord, I trust you, you're good, and even if this trial ends in my death, yet I'm going to heaven. And like Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To live as Christ, to die as gain. How cool. Be careful about hardness of heart, because it says that that person will fall into calamity. Verse 15, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor, but he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A covetous ruler, one who desires to have power and positions and possessions, becomes an oppressive ruler. Again, all I can say is come quickly, Lord Jesus. When I look at this world, our country, and the other nations of the world and their leaders, I say, Lord Jesus, please come soon. Verse 17, a man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit, let no one help him. What he gives, he's going to get. This is an example of sowing and reaping. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Blameless people will avoid the catastrophes that perverse people bring upon themselves. Perversity brings trouble upon a person. He who tills his land, verse 19, will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. This is another one of those go get a job proverbs. Get a job, work hard, make a living. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. So, yes, we're to get a job, work hard, make money, but avoid get-rich-quick schemes. Beware of them. Get yourself into trouble. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be worked, I just read that, verse 21, to show partiality, to give preference to somebody because of their skin tone or because of their bank account or for their clothes or their car or whatever, the house they live in, to prefer one over another is not good. But yet Solomon recognizes that people do this all the time. Is there social injustice in our world, in our nation? Absolutely. Is it going to get better? Not until every person converts to Jesus Christ. Because the natural man, whether he's black, white, green, striped, polka dot, rich, poor, thin, not so thin, whatever, the natural man is by nature a selfish person. They don't know how to love. It's frustrating as believers because we do, but we see a world that does not have the capacity to love, and we want them to love and to treat others respectfully, treat everybody the same. Doesn't that sound good? Everybody should treat everybody the same regardless of how they look or what they wear or where they live. Everybody should be treated equally. Sounds good, right? Anybody disagree with that? Please don't raise your hand. Is it possible in this world? Absolutely not. Because in the world, people love themselves. And people wait for other people to treat them well before they will then respond. Jesus is the initiator. Everybody in the world wants to be initiated. And it's never going to happen. It'll never happen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's the answer right there. So to show partiality, it's not good. We see the horrible effects of partiality. It's not good. Because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress. People are so easily bought. They're so easily. The nature of the fallen man is easily bought. Therefore, as believers, the best we can do is avoid becoming entangled with somebody who does not love Jesus. Do your best to be free from entanglement of those who don't, having to rely upon those who don't love the Lord because they love themselves. You know, we're told in 1 Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked together with non-believers. Now, that's a great verse to use in premarital counseling. But it's also a great verse for those who are considering going into business with somebody who's not a believer. That's a huge mistake to become equally yoked with somebody whose God is their belly. And they're born children of Satan. Oh, but they're good friends. I've known them since forever. Doesn't matter. Don't do it. You're going to get yourself into trouble. Because they, by nature, show partiality. That's just who they are. Verse 22, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches, does not consider that poverty will come upon him. The schemer spends more than he or she gets. They put a lot of effort and money in order to get rich quick, but they are spending more than what they'll ever get. They will come to poverty. Verse 23, he who rebukes a man, and this is, of course, in love, trying to help out, trying to give correction and godly advice, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, we read, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So beware of flatterers. Verse 24, whoever robs his father or mother and says, oh, it is no transgression, the same is a companion to a destroyer. He's a friend of Satan. The person who robs his parents and says it's no big deal. Now, certainly that would never happen, right? Wrong. Jesus saved his harshest rebukes for the religious rulers who held fast to their traditions that nullified the word of God, including the commandment, honor your father and your mother. In Mark chapter 7, verse 9, he said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's what the law says, you to honor your parents. Now, Jesus will explain that part of honoring parents is that when our parents get old and cannot take care of themselves, we, their children, must take care of them financially, physically. They took care of us when we were kids, and when they get older, it's our turn to take care of them. And I can tell you from personal experience, it's hard, but it's good. And his grace is sufficient. If you desire to honor God by honoring your father and your mother, the Lord will give you the strength to be able to do it. Guaranteed. He did it for me, and he'll do it for you. So this is what the law says, honor your father and mother, and if you don't, you're going to be put to death. But you say, Jesus is saying to the religious rulers, rebuking them, you say, your tradition is, if a man says to his father or mother, what profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, I would take care of you, mom and dad, but I am going to take this money and give it to God eventually, by and by, so I can't help you out because I'm saving this for God one day. He says, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. You let him off the hook from keeping one of the Ten Commandments. You've made the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. So Jesus In fact, at one time he said, you are of your father, the devil. And one way they acted like the devil was that they robbed their fathers and their mothers, saying that it was justified because of their tradition of Corban. Your companion to Satan, Jesus says. Verse 25, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife. It's what prideful people do. They just, wherever they go in their wake, they leave turmoil, they leave strife. But he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. What a verse for our culture today, isn't it? This world is all about, oh, you need to learn to love yourself. Follow your heart. The heart wants what the heart wants. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. The wisest way to walk is according to the word of God. What does the Bible say? But what if I don't feel like doing that? Do it anyway. Do it anyway and tell your emotions to get in line. Your feelings will follow. Verse 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. When you minister to the needy, Jesus says, you're ministering to him. When you do this to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And by the way, Jesus will never let you outgive him. When you give to a poor person in the name of Jesus, you're giving to him, and he will never let you outgive him. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. But when they, the wicked, perish, the righteous increase. And they throw a party. Yay! Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, oh witch, the wicked witch. Proverbs 29, more wise words to live by. Verse 1, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck. Somebody is doing something not right. Somebody else comes along and says, hey, that's wrong, you need to change. Nah, I don't want to listen to that. Somebody else comes along, hey, you need to change. I don't want to listen to that. And over again, they're told, you're doing wrong, you need to do right. They harden their neck, they will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. No hope for the stubborn person who hardens his neck. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. You know, in my few years on planet Earth, regardless of what political party was in charge, there's been a lot of groaning. Regardless of which side is in power, there's just been a lot of groaning. The simple answer is, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Verse 3, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. How many families have been brought down and destroyed because of a wicked son or daughter, prodigal living, the downfall of the family. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. So one day you have a good, godly king, and the land is doing well, but then somebody else comes to power who's wicked. Just because a nation begins well does not mean it's going to end well. A man who flatters his neighbor, verse 5, spreads a net for his feet. Beware of the flattering man or woman, they're out to get you. It's good to encourage and compliment one another, but when it's overblown too much, there's typically an agenda behind it. Verse 6, by transgression, an evil man is snared. Sin. You and I, we're believers in Jesus Christ. We have been set free from the penalty of sin. We're not going to hell. We're also delivered from the power of sin. It no longer has dominion over us. And one day we will be delivered from the very presence of sin when we see him face to face. But it is possible for a believer to be set free from the penalty and from the power, but yet through sinning again and again, they can become enslaved to sin. A believer can be in bondage to sin. And they are miserable people indeed. You know, the world, a worldly person can be in bondage to sin and just be as happy as a clam, because that's their nature. But you and I, as believers, if we become entangled in some sin, there's nothing more miserable. So by transgression, you keep going there, keep pushing it, keep seeking that thing. You're snared. But the righteous sings and rejoices. Living right keeps one out of trouble. Verse 7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. They just don't get it. God promises to bless us as we bless others. We get that. The world does not. Scoffers set a city aflame. You know, it's those who stir up strife and there's problems here and they just keep pushing it. They set a city aflame. But wise men turn away wrath. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." So we're given that promise. The peacemakers called the sons of God. Verse 9, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. Wouldn't it be nice to have peace with everybody? Wouldn't it be nice to have everybody get along with you and you get along with everybody? I don't know about you, but I'm willing to make that happen. I want to be at peace with everybody. I want to get along with everybody. I want to be nice to people, and I want them to be nice to me. Is that asking too much? Apparently it is. Because there are some who refuse to be nice to you and refuse to have peace with you. And even the Bible recognizes that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. If somebody's done you wrong, don't get back at them. Be nice to them. Whether they don't deserve it, but that's not the point. Was Jesus nice to you only when you deserved it? No. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, to be like him, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, notice that phrase, because sometimes it's not. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, have you done all you can to make peace with people? If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. To do the absolute best you can do to live at peace with people, but if you've done everything, do not be shocked and surprised if still people do not want to have peace with you. They don't like the way you look. They don't like the way you talk. They don't like the house you live in. They just don't like you for whatever reason. That's just how it is. But never let it be that you and I are at odds with somebody because we're at fault. Because we've done something wrong and obnoxious and said something unkind. But again, if we've done everything we can and they don't want to have peace with us, there's nothing we can do about that other than give them over to the Lord and say, God, you deal with them. Help me to do the right thing. Verse 10, the bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. I see here that the upright, when they seek another's well-being, they're not just well-wishers, they're helpers. Reading the other day, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love is patient and kind and love does not parade itself. Love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We're looking through that again and realizing once again, those are action verbs. Love is not an emotion. It is an action that one partakes for the benefit of another. Of course, Jesus is the epitome of one who loves, not just word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. And that's what real love is all about. And so the upright, those who know the love of God personally, are those who are not just going to love others and wish them well, but they're going to seek other people's well-being. I like that. Upright are not just well-wishers, they're helpers. Verse 11, a fool vents all his feelings. We're going to take some time and we're all going to say all the everything that's on our mind, everything that's in our heart. We're just going to let it all out. That's what fools do. But a wise man holds them back. You know, the world believes that every feeling a person has is truth. Every feeling is truth and therefore must be expressed. Jesus tells us no. We're to deny ourselves, even when we feel like following our hearts. Verse 12, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. The servants will reflect their leaders. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. So on judgment day, no one will have an excuse before God. He gives light to both. The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever, and that will happen when Jesus returns. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Undisciplined children become unruly adults. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. Discipline your children early and often before it's too late. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. People run amok. But happy is he who keeps the law. If not guided by the word of God, people will inevitably follow their own hearts into a very, very bad place. But those who follow after the word of God, the revelation of God's word, they will be happy. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. Whether it be servants or sons, sometimes words are simply not enough. In those moments, the Board of Education must be applied to the seat of understanding. Do you see a man hasty in his words? This is the person, the know-it-all, who always has to have an answer for everything. I've recently come to the personal revelation, the realization that I don't have to have an answer for everything. I can say, I don't know. Or I can say, oh, that's tough. I'll pray for you. But I don't have to give an answer to everyone for every little thing in life. And I can actually do myself a favor and say, huh, that's interesting. Give me some time to think about it. That says, huh, I'll get back to you on that. Because if I feel like I have to answer right now, the hasty in words, the know-it-all, it says there's more hope for a fool than for him. And things don't go well for fools, do they? They go even worse for those that are hasty in their words. Verse 21, he who pampers his servant from childhood will have him as a son in the end. Hey, employers, take good care of your employees. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Steer clear of hot-headed people. Verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Both James and Peter pen these eternally true words, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 24, whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth but reveals nothing. You've heard the phrase, there's no honor among thieves. It's probably where this verse is where he got that phrase from. The fear of man brings a snare. So if you're afraid of what the man is going to do, or this situation, then you're going to get yourself tangled in trouble. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Verse 26, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. You know, we could spend some time writing letters to senators and congressmen. But how much better to pray to the God of the universe who is willing and able to and always does the right thing. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Not to the government. You want to write a letter, that's fine. Express and thank God that we can in our country write a letter and express our displeasure with the way some things are being done and decisions that are being made. And that's fine. But never at the expense of coming to God. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous. And he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. There will be people who will hate you just because you love Jesus and want to do the right thing. For no reason other than they are deluded and deceived by their father, the devil. And you who have the best thing to offer them, they will find you to be offensive and they will hate you. You are an abomination to the wicked. But you know what? You can tell where you stand with God by who your enemies are. In Luke chapter 6, verse 26, Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. Now, we have now come to the end of wise words to live by, this section in Proverbs. There's two more chapters, chapters 30 and 31. These are more longer sermons. And so we've come now to, installment 15 of Wise Words to Live By. Next week in chapter 30, we're going to read some proverbs that are penned by a guy named Agur, the son of Yecha. Well, I don't know. This guy, Agur, wrote primarily to two guys, Ithiel and Uchal. But who Agur, his dad, Yahe, Ithiel, and Uchal, who they were, nobody really knows. And I am content to say, I don't know. But God knows who they are. And God breathed his word into the heart, mind, and pen of this Agur, and we are eternally blessed to have it. So, may I suggest that we all read chapter 30 and 31 in preparation for next week, these longer sermons, one that apparently was written by Agur, and then the other apparently the wise words of the mother of a man named King Lemuel. And we'll get to that when we get to that. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word, and the one theme that seems to be woven throughout this evening is come quickly, Lord Jesus. We live in a world, a fallen world. We scratch our heads and we say, why don't they get it? Why don't they understand? Why can't they be nice? Why can't we all get along? Why is there evil in the world? Why is there wickedness in the world? And the bottom line is, people that don't know you are selfish. Sometimes we who do know you can be selfish, but those who are in the world, that's their nature. They don't know how to not be selfish. They don't know how to not be mean, how to not promote themselves at the expense of others. That's why we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's why we pray that you would help us to evangelize and bring others into faith in you, that you might change their very nature just like you changed ours. And so we lift up people that we know, that we have influence with, Lord, and that you would help us to always keep the main thing the main thing. And those whose lives we intersect that do not know you, help us, Lord, to be at peace with them, but introduce them to the Prince of Peace, because they're never going to know. They're never going to know until they know you. They won't know life. They won't be in heaven until they come to know you. And so, Father, I just pray you'd help us to remember these things, live out these things, to be doers of your word, to be helpers of those in need, to love one another and love whoever we come in contact with concrete actions of self-sacrifice, just like you did for us, Lord, for which we praise you both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening.